Evet. Box. Letting box.
Are you all okay now?
Well, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Just going out to it's too very fast.
I just made it, huh? Close down. We heard from Steve.
Yes,
Great. Okay. Thank you. It's 7 o'clock. Good evening. Welcome to this 6th of September meeting, which is going to cover it's a big agenda, I'm afraid, because we missed a meeting in the orders meeting because there weren't enough in the quorum. So apologies for that. We will try to keep it brief, but cover the key items on the agenda if we can. Apologies for absence. I know that Vinny is on holiday. He's the only councillor not present. So we'll carry on. I think Martin's let me know that he wants to say something.
Yes, I've had, as you know, we've had a number of complaints about how certain people are treating their parish council. And I'm afraid it's fortunate you're here tonight because most of it's down to you. It's basically a number. Well,
sorry, Chair.
I'm sorry, the meeting's not fully open to the public.
No, I'm just, you don't understand me. I'm just putting it forward. It's the fact that there are three parts that we all know at the parish council. The chairman started up with the up-to-date things. The middle part is where the public are allowed to come in and say what they say, and then it returns back to parish councillors only. And to put a long short story short, you'll have to excuse me, Dave. I've had this anaesthetic. I'm a bit funny with the tongue. And basically, people, or in fact, one person in particular, is shoving in straight away when you start your bit, obviously in the parish council bit, and then on any plays after that, and then other ways of going like that all the time, trying to get his bit in. It would make a lot of kindness if you went back to behaving as you used to do many years ago. That was before you came into Ashford Parish Council. I know you didn't stay very long because you were moved on, making it very short. I won't go any more than that, but I've got a whole list of things that people have complained about. And I'm afraid only you. So I just feel that as we're aware of that, we need to take a look at that. And if it goes any worse, then we make a better thing of it. But it's just not happening that some one person is causing grief to a number of people. And it's not a small number. I mean, some of the people that have surprised me and others are saying that they're not coming down here because of that. So I'm afraid I've had the dirty spoon because I'm the longest serving here, and it was me that had to serve it. And so that's it. I couldn't expand on that, but I thought I'd tell you that, and let's see what happens in the future. Let's have everybody working how they should do, waiting for their turn, and then get their turn to go. That doesn't apply to the parish council opening, and it doesn't apply to the last bit unless they're given permission to do so because it's not been working that. I think that is that cover everything.
Up to you,
Yeah.
Martin.
Yeah.
Thank you
Okay.
for being polite and saying what you had to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
But nothing personal, I'm just reporting what I've had.
Item 54 is declarations of interest. If there are any, they can either be declared up front or declared when you hit the other thing in the agenda. We're following guidelines on that. If there are any written requests in advance for declarable interests, they'll be considered by the clerk. And if any concern me in respect of chairing the meeting, then the parish council can agree on the alternative chair for that particular item. And that's all done in accordance with the HAPTC guidelines and dispensation. Is everyone happy amongst the parish council with the form that's been proposed for declaring dispensation interests?
Yeah.
Okay.
Happy with that.
Can Jane please note that that's been approved? So we'll now move on to minutes, item 55. First item, 55.1, is to confirm that the minutes of the 5th of July meeting were an accurate record of the meeting. Is everyone happy with that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that's their approved. The next item, 55.2, concerns the planning committee meeting in the, on 19th of June in respect of 128 Ashwell Street, which has actually been determined by your parts and are the conditions that were suggested by Ashwell Parish Council have been endorsed and included by North Arts. Is everyone happy with that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The next, 55.3, concerns the planning committee meeting on 26th of July and the representations from the parish council. Really, just so far, is everyone happy with that? The 55.4 concerns minutes of the extraordinary meeting held on 26th July. The draft minutes of that really included in the papers circulated. I'm happy with the parts that I chaired. What about you, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. Is everyone else happy?
Likewise, I'm happy with the bits that I was there for.
Right. The next item, 6.1, concerns the HAPTC protocols for public participation in council meetings. The proposal is to adopt the HLTC protocols, but previously we have suggested that public participation is increased in 2 minutes from the default model, 2 minutes to 3 minutes per item per person. Does everyone want to stick with that or stick with the HAPTC?
So that will mean that somebody goes on past that, their cut off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you should go to 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, it's either 3 or 5, from what I can tell, looking at other parish
councils. Yeah, let's go for 3.
Okay.
There's a couple of points on these guidelines here that don't appear as standing orders as far as I can tell. One is that only one question on a topic to be received from each person, but supplementary questions will be at the chairman stroke mayor's discretion. And secondly, no question shall be repeated within a 6-month period. Would we propose adding that to the standing orders? Or
I think that is not. We follow the. I think the standing orders should comply with the model code of participation. Otherwise, there's, if they don't, it's inconsistent.
Yeah, but we're using standard. It's a bit of a tricky one because we're using a standard model for the standing orders, aren't we?
Yeah.
What's everyone think?
But the 2 points seem reasonable to me.
Sorry.
Both of those 2 points you suggested we should consider adding seem reasonable to me.
And it's on the chairman's discretion to extend if required. That makes sense.
And
I mean, perhaps if we add it to the standing orders and reference the HABTC protocols, then that sort of closes that loop, doesn't it? You happy?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it is an HABTC protocol, so it's not really unknown to NHC. So they probably won't have any problems with it. So I'm okay with that. So it's
perfectly okay to do that.
So shall we propose that at the next meeting, because we've obviously written a draft which fully encapsulates all of that, at the next meeting, shall we issue the revised HABTC model protocol for the public meeting and I think the judgment for the standing orders.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, okay. So you're eliminating somebody permanently gets up and says the same things.
I'm thinking that if they want to repeat that, another person has to take that up for another 3 minutes. Another person could raise the same item and discuss it, but when they have a statement in 3 minute period, basically once a topic is covered by an individual, that topic shouldn't be covered again within 6 months.
But again, there's discretion on that.
There might be a minor change in
something.
But it's really to stop somebody that gets on week after week after week and goes on and on and on.
Hopefully Jane will have noted that we'll discuss revised drafts at the October meeting on participation and standing orders. Great, thank you. The second item that I think Vinnie and Al were going to raise was the GigaClear fiber broadband. Do you want to?
Sure, I can do that quickly. So another fiber broadband company has leafleted the village, or at least my house. I'm assuming they've hit the whole village.
Yeah.
Question to you is, would you like me to get in contact with them as we did with Phineas? Try to get more understanding about what they're doing, what their plans are, et cetera, and then report back.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I mean, particularly on clarification on new self.
Exactly. Yeah. I have at least 3 bullet points is whether they would reuse the existing conduits and poles, whether they would reuse the Toby boxes outside all of the houses as opposed to putting more outside all of the houses, and what their time frame is and what their digging plans are. So things like that. Okay, I'll get in touch with them. I'll loop you in and keep you informed.
Which company are they called?
They're called GigaClear.
Thanks. So we'll understand the orders and invite members of the public and then parish chaplains have got other items on the agenda that they would like to raise now, but when you go back into session at the end of public participation, then it will only be parish councillors that can discuss those other matters. So, invitations to anyone to get David.
I'd just like to remind everyone that the second entrance to the wreck hasn't been tarmacked at all. The surface hasn't been hardened at all. Sorry, so when November 11th comes around on the Legion Day, it could be difficult for people to get in, so in and out. So it might be an idea to take that in hand and try and get it resolved.
How do you suggest that it might be?
Because,
in terms of soft surface,
either matting or hard surface.
Okay.
I can't find anyone at the moment to do it. But, so if anyone's got any ideas.
Yeah.
Apparently, the contractor you had before didn't do a particularly good job, is that right?
Well, yeah, Gearing, yeah.
what did they do?
Well, they spent to repair the surface at Small Gangs Lane, electrical track.
Right.
And they never did the job properly at all. I complained about it, and we haven't had an invoice yet, so I think they've got.
Right. I think at the moment, apart from the British Legion and the Church Memorial meeting, I don't think that entrance is being used that heavily.
No, but so it will be on the day.
Oh, it will. Yeah. So I think you know, I understand fully that it needs to be safe, but I think we go for a minimum acceptable solution rather than for a simple answer because obviously others. From any items from members of the public.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to comment on these items now, even though they're later on in the agenda, because I get the sense that's what's been sought here. I think the comments I've written in the Certificate of Complaints policy speak for themselves and councils of Belfort. I'd like to say something about the public's right to comment. I don't think there's a special difficulty with members of the public commenting on any item on a parish council agenda during at any time myself, but. You know, I respect that the parish council is seeking not to have that arrangement. I think it's a little unfortunate because it might have the impression that those who speak in dissent should not be allowed to opportunity to do so. I'd remind all councillors that the Seven Northern Principles include the open to challenge. That's one of the Seven Northern Principles. I'd like to address Councillor Hoffman's remarks. That's the second item, Chairman, for the next 3 minutes, I think. And Councillor Hoffman's remarks, I don't think it was very appropriate of Councillor Hoffman to suggest that I was, and his words were, moved on.
I didn't use the word moved on.
Well, we'll see when we get the recording. I think you did, sir.
Right.
And it implies that somehow I left under a cloud. That's simply not the case. And I'm sorry, Chair, that you did not correct that at the time when Councillor said it.
If I may intervene, I wasn't a parish councillor at that point, so I couldn't.
My apologies, Chair. But you did allow him to cast that aspersion without any evidence about it. It's not quite as bad as the what is your F is your problem remark that he made in the previous council meeting. But suggest that there's some sort of pattern in this village of people who are dissatisfied with my contributions. Leads me to a third point I'd like to make, Chair. And that's regarding a couple of recent resignations. I noticed in the minutes there was one item to confirm the deputy chair or deputy clerk's appointment, which you did not take. Now, the last council meeting, I asked you why you didn't take that item. And you gave me an explanation, which is at odds with the recording of the meeting. And I think it's uncomfortable that the deputy clerk and Councillor Nicky Di Costa challenged you about governance matters. And subsequently, you didn't confirm, you didn't take the item, confirming the Deputy Clerk's appointment. And shortly after, both the Deputy Clerk and Nicky Di Costa both resigned. I just ask all councillors to reflect on the optics of that and how that looks, looking from the outside in. I wonder, Chair.
I'd just like to say that I think the main problem, David, is that you're interrupting the session time. And as we know, you're a stickler for the rules. You should know that you shouldn't interrupt the session time. So I think we should all keep to the rules.
Chair, I could not agree more that we should all keep to the rules. I'd also like to just say something about the opportunity for co-optation. I am myself, as you know, a former local authority chief executive and a former parish councillor who at the time had too much on his plate to commit the time that I thought was necessary to parish council, which is why I resigned, wasn't moved on. And so I think it might be helpful, given that we're short of numbers and we're short of experience, that I offer myself for co-optation.
I can see why David's smiling, because he knows that no one on this table would probably accept that. You seem to be more interested in causing problems than actually resolving them.
Well, I think, Chair, if I might, I think all prisoners have got right to submit complaints. And none of the complaints none of the complaints that I have submitted have been judged by an independent person to be frivolous or vexatious. Not one of them.
The perception is seen that you get something to talk about and you go on and on and on about it. Hence, I think
Let David make his comments and then we'll.
Well, that was part of his comments. So, well, it was the idea of his moving on. He's going to
move.
Perhaps you continue, David.
Chair, I'm offering myself an option. I would suggest that, quite apart from my career in public service, I recall you once identifying the characteristics of someone who might be useful in parts of the parish council's business, and you said somebody who's maybe held a senior position in local government or public administration, somebody who's maybe got some skills in finance, maybe somebody who knows a bit about planning. Well, I'm currently working as a privately as a consultant to commercial organisations on planning applications. I am a qualified accountant and I've got 40 years experience, including 17 as a chief exec. So I offer that as an opportunity for the council to embrace.
Can I suggest that if that is a serious offer, that you put it in writing?
Chairman, I'd be happy to do so, providing that we can consider that it will be judged without fear or favour.
What do you mean by that? I mean,
let's not get into a debate about it now, but let's, perhaps you'd like to move on to your next point if you have one.
Chairman, I think that's as much as I want to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments?
I was asking about that application process that we should make before our independent speed boats and that a bit clearer on the side.
We should check and publish what the co-option process consists of.
Right.
But everyone speaks loudly, remembering on a compass fallen to talk to the room as opposed to each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you get that, Jane? That exchange. Yeah. Okay. Is that a maybe or?
No, that's a cloud. Yes.
Oh right. Okay. Fine.
Okay. In which case, we'll now move back into the table.
Sorry, is there a limit in the B section? I can't remember this.
Do it now.
Okay, so one of the things I've said that I just quickly like to raise is that we get regular, or Jay gets regular updates, I think, from our community support officer, or whatever you want to call it, from the police. And there was one recently where there was sort of requests for various bits of police, which included sort of parking on the lines by schools and things like that. And I suggested that that's something that we should essentially publish it either on the website or to the sort of email circulation lists to basically raise the request amongst the population. There may be various approaches that you might actually submit a response to that, particularly in relation to the school parking. So, you know, the good thing to do is have a live feed to our website or to our email address so that people are made aware of those. If they don't want to separately subscribe to that particular email, we can.
Okay,
Mr. Burslan, please, what do you want?
So there's Jane who gets some correspondence from the local police force when there's various for consultation, and I think just the public awareness body showing we are, we should just publish that so that people can be aware that they've asked for requests for feedback. And people can then obviously approach the police directly for any comments.
Yeah, I think we should ask them to directly approach PCSO or below, rather than getting involved ourselves as intermediaries.
But without advising the parishioners that they are open for various questions and feedback. We're a public service organisation, you should not allow that.
There is a route to expressing, to receiving information from the police and reporting issues that they feel need to be brought to the attention of the police.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Anything else from around the table? No. Okay. In which case, we'll go back into session and look at planning matters. Blackberry Barn, first item 7.1.1, Blackberry Barn Last Lane, an application for a single story side and rear extension to connect cottage and annex buildings with insertion of roof lights to the annex roof slope. Have there been any neighbouring complaints on that, Jane?
No, to the contrary, there's actually been an endorsement comment in favour from the next door neighbours.
And it's similar story. Has anyone got a view on that?
I mean, it is very close to the moat, the National Monument. However, I mean, if you look at the design, I mean, it's no taller than the existing structure. It's extremely sympathetic to the existing building, and it doesn't really represent any development. So, notwithstanding the fact that it is on top of that moat, I think it's quite acceptable.
I agree. I don't think it's bringing up problems at all.
Everyone else?
I can't see a problem.
Okay, so no objection unanimously on that item. The next item are tree consultations. At the Springs, there's cutback overhangs to the footpath. Anyone got any?
I think it's long overdue, and people are quite keen on the idea.
Okay. So everyone happy with that. And then Silver Street proposal to reduce the height and the crown on a conifer. Okay. You're okay with that? Any comments? No. Okay, no objections or concerns over both of those items then, Jane. The next is the land between, well, it's Hunt's Close and the S106 claim, would Norton or Chris like to update the meeting?
Well, I'll go with Chris.
Yeah, don't mind, Chris.
Okay, so, you know, there is a draft Section 106 claim based on the existing procedure. Procedures have changed, although NHC have really been unable to tell me exactly what way they have changed, at least as far as it affects Section 106 claim. So it's a bit of a learning process. However, we want to put in a bid for funds to put towards the pavilion. You know, a couple of reasons for that. One is the pavilion's, you know, a project that has got about the highest priority of all our projects. And secondly, there aren't really any other projects that are well enough defined to put in a convincing Section 106 claim since Gemma left and the Lanugo idea got stopped. So we're recommending that we put in a bid to be applied to the pavilion, basically. Now, my guess is that, my estimate is just a very broad estimate, is there's about £30,000 possibly coming in Section 106. That would mean that we still have to raise about £200,000 through a fundraising drive, which actually was launched last year. In fact, we need to pick up momentum on that. But that's just an aside. I just asked you to have a look at that document and, you know, if you haven't already, and let us know if you're happy with it to go.
I mean, that bid is, of course, contingent upon the decision being made in favour of development, which there is certain parish council that has imposed.
Sorry, I forgot that vital piece of information.
The last on-site meeting, everyone agreed to say that it was the line.
You have to put the application in so that if it's determined positively, then you...
And also, I think a lot of them think it's no less important than someone like Hicks's, considering if you lose the Greenbelt, the crash site.
Omitting to declare a Y06 at the appropriate time could result in Station Road, where the inspector didn't agree 106.
Do we know when he didn't agree?
Because it wasn't requested as part of the approval process.
It wasn't, that's right, but I never knew why. Anyway, it's not a problem.
I think it has to be in the application. I think if the decision gets appealed, the inspector can only appeal the decision in front of them. They can't appeal, they can't have it.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is why it's important to have a valid application in now.
There's also a request for the developer's suggestion of gifting a certain amount of that site. And I think it's the western part of the site where the trenches are going. The developer offered to gift that, and we want to take him up on that, but that is separate from our request for protection.
So that was limited.
Is that an area for children, isn't it?
It's
open space, green open space, Graham.
Also,
there's talk of putting a memorial up there to the
But that was
noted in the objection from the parish council. So, is there an agreement that we endorse the 106 proposal that Norton has outlined? So we need to submit the 106 and last
act,
essentially. So we should act on that. Pixie's Meadow, I think Norton has been, well, the parish council has registered a 5-minute slot in that Pixie's Meadow Vinyl Arts. But they're 14% in the meeting. And we're in discussion with a parishioner to speak on behalf of the parish council.
Is that all on the parish? I mean, it's got to show the people out in there.
We can share. We're allowed.
As long as they are aware 100% we are.
And that we agree that with North Hearts in advance.
Right.
So we're just at the moment consulting with those potential people who want to make the representation.
Yeah, but when I spoke to you the other day, you gave the impression it was they that was going to front it, and we were...
No. They have...
That's fine.
Executive in handling that particular application has put in his views, we will object and express our views, but not go over exactly the same ground as the person handling the
water. As long as we proceed.
We are soon.
But we also just need to know that we're liaising with the parishioner who sort of convened some public opinion because they wanted to organise a speak as well. So that slot of 5 minutes is shared.
But in total, it's 5 minutes. So it's not long. Adding additional relevant information with the knowledge is.
Which my point is a very slow time, so we've got to make sure we're seeing these people.
Yeah. Can we get a time on this? And sorry, is there a time on this? On the 27th? On the 14th. Yeah, on the 14th. No.
And the time for the meeting?
Yeah, time when?
Yeah, 7:30 on the 14th. Sorry, was that the question?
Oh, yeah, the time on. When the person that's been speaking on behalf is over time, with a time limit of 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, roughly when it would
be. Even when in the meeting.
Yeah,
it says where in the agenda it is.
David, it's fairly early in the agenda, so, and you can watch it on YouTube if you want.
And in respect of that, there also needs to be a 106 application. Maybe to register in the fact that we want to make a S1A.
Yeah, I put that mark because it can just tie that.
Yeah. So, no, Norton's already done that. Okay. 75 Bygrave Sabre Farm. Our objections have been. And no doubt Tom will be able to when he reports if there's wrong, he'll be able to update us on what's likely to happen in respect to the solar farm. The next item, 36, is the item from NALC on the consultation by the Department for Levelling Up Housing and Communities relating to neighbourhood plans and to agree any response. Having looked at that, it strikes me that, we need to respond before the next meeting so that our draft response can go into the public domain. So we need to draft that response by the 27th of November, 27th of September. And the recommendation coming from now is that the response, there are a number of criticisms of the proposals. Fundamentally, they're suggesting that local councils and parish councils respond every 10 years rather than 5 years. But I think we should consider supporting the NALC recommendations when that response is drafted. But
it's a massive amount of work to get a response into that. I mean, it's a very comprehensive document that's inviting comments on a broad range of issues. So, you know, it's a lot of work, and it's going to be a struggle to get that done on the 27th.
But hopefully they do sort of outline their...
This is a question, don't they?
Yeah.
I suppose it's a wee bit easier in that way, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think if we follow the points, we may obviously encounter this with the parish councils. So, you know, rather than us trying to reinvent the wheel, I think we consider their appointments and follow them. But we need to also agree between ourselves, you know, if we were involved in the last debate with the plan. I suggest that we sort of put our heads together on it and work together to draw to the response.
Whatever is happy, whether we come have it.
Yeah, for Chris to join in on that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Is everyone happy with that?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Fine.
Put that on the list.
Reports from working groups, trees and hedges. Everything's okay, right? Might have to water the hedges. It's where it continues. Yeah. How are we looking at the moment?
One not too bad and one not very good at all. Station road side.
Right.
Lucas Lane side.
Is the watering hose still in place?
Oh, yeah, it's all set up.
Okay.
And the small grounds is okay.
You should probably, I mean, it's going to have another few days, so maybe switch it on. But
yeah, I'll put it on tonight.
Okay.
Fine.
Thank you. Affordable housing.
Yeah, so I met with David, who held a chat through prior to holidays, and we need to check up again. I put a few feelers out to some planning on a couple of points around the affordable ratio and the precedence from other local authorities. I'm also really impressed with getting that information together and then getting it right again. So it's with me to pick up again with David and the next community.
Okay, thank you. The section 106 at the moment that is Norton and Chris. Are there any other suggestions in respect to that? If not, I can.
We're not one of the people who resigned was supposed to be on our list, so we probably need one more.
Well, I'm happy to agree on that. Yeah. So add me to the section one of the committee, then, please.
Chair.
Can do, but I'm not precious about him.
In chair.
Graham, can I just question whether you, which apologies probably should have been clearer on the agenda, whether you're content for that to be a committee as opposed to an advisory working group?
Working group, because we're not going to make any substantive decisions, are we?
Yes, we might make a working group, which then we can discuss without falling far into particularly the shorthand. So we come back to the parish council with thoughts, proposals. Yeah, we'll position it as a working group, young Jane.
Okay, that does restrict you. I mean, delegating actions is probably a no-no then, but if you're content that all of your recommendations will be advisory and come back to full council, I think that's fine.
I mean, I think that's a good anyway.
We should use the Hartbridge application as a
program
to work on for that.
Well, hopefully, we'll learn the process through that.
Okay. The HR committee, we've agreed in terms of reference, and there is an agenda that's just been issued with a meeting set for the 13th of September.
Did we want to agree to share and also the co-opting points as well?
Yes.
Graham, the one thing that you should do to comply with the standing orders of committees is that the full council should agree who the chair of that HR committee should be. Although within the terms of reference, there is provision for a substitute chair if there are interests to be declared.
Okay. Would a member of the HR committee like to propose the chair?
I propose Graham as the chair. I'll second that.
Okay, I'm happy to do that, but we'll be very clear that in the event of a relevant interest, I will hand it over to a substitute.
I think it's worth noting the record that there is an item that will provide you on the agenda.
Yeah. Okay.
And also.
And that the agenda and that the meeting will be in camera because of the sensitivities of the matters to be discussed.
And that also applies to me, that agenda item will mean I will exclude myself.
So there would need to be a co option of a third member of the parish council to sit on the matter of complaint.
Yeah.
And that's in hand.
That's in hand, and David has put himself forward to read an answer to that particular item.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Did you hear all that, Jane?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine.
Thank you. Right. Reports from parish committees on premises and other responsibilities. The Springs, Martin.
Yeah, the thing that went on at the Springs, that went down well. There was about 70 people went to see it. The vicar got his legs wet through getting in to bless the church, the actual ground. All in all, it was, I thought, a good starter for what might become regular. And I was very impressed. I didn't spend a lot of time there, but wasn't my bag, really. But
Is there a suggestion to hold it annually?
No, not at this stage, no. And I have asked them, if there is that, it's not going to be like this time. You know, yes, we want to do it, and then nothing happens for 3.5 months. No, they want it the next week, never again.
Okay. Item two is proposed tree works. As this is all part of your domain, I suggest that we take the expenditure and the appointment of the proposal to appoint a particular tree surgeon now.
It's easy to say, actually, that the rest of it's under control. It's all been assessed, and it won't be that part of it won't be looked at until late this July, August, September. That's all. So start again after that, because we know what tree work needs to be done. That's the tree work in the ground that needs to be done. You're talking about the thing that we've been going on about for ages.
Yeah.
I best next to the pub, and we have four people asking to do it. And there's really only two that comes anywhere near the game. I mean, I can't believe how two of the well-known people were asking to do it for around about 600-700, and one lot of 3,780. It's amazing. So anyway, so it's a case of whether we have the blue trip tree that had all our stuff in the park, or try this new person, which I have no difficulty with either of them, because how can I put this tactfully, but the chap that was not Fred, but his head man has moved on anyway, so I haven't any problem with either of those two people. So you're rather keen on the second one, aren't you?
Well, I just made this suggestion that we've been very reliant on one supplier historically. The second supplier that you reference is also an approved for carrying out surveys, and I think it would be very useful to have experience of a second supplier in case there are other suppliers too busy to act when you need some input.
Okay, well, I'll go along with that, but I must say that blue trees have never let us down.
They've been rather slow.
They've been slow, but that slow coach, if you like, has been moved on.
Yeah.
But no, if you want to go, I'm happy with that. It's only £100 difference.
Well, it's less than that. So the contractor is, named Steve Deere, who was, I think, suggested as a supplier by Northern Parts or Parts County Council, and he is capable of carrying out surveys as well as doing work. So,
when you say it's cheaper than that, Meyer did.
No, not slightly more expensive.
What?
Slightly more expensive.
Yeah, but I mean, 768 minus 660, it is 100, isn't it? You said that you put
I've got slightly different figures.
Can I remind you that you shouldn't really be talking figures in an open session?
I shouldn't, but I mean, you started it off. But yeah, I'll go along with that.
I haven't mentioned the sum.
Or don't.
No, I won't.
No, I think you make a
point
about, you know, spreading our risks and not relying too much on one supplier. Is quite an important one,
particularly on this particular item.
Yeah.
Because tree work is probably the most expensive area of contracting out that the parish council does. So having a second supplier is a potential supplier. It's a test. It's an opportunity for a relatively low expenditure to get first-hand experience of another supplier. So if everyone agrees with that principle, then I suggest that supplier is given a go.
Well, I was going to suggest that, but...
Well, suggest it.
I was in the middle of it.
Sorry.
Go for it, yeah. But then just to newcomers on the parish council, we sometimes have big loads of money in reserve, but when a tree goes wrong, it really goes wrong in a big way, and that's why we have quite big amounts ready for the damage.
Yeah. Okay, I think there's a decision there, Jane. Could you proceed?
We'll do.
Thank you. Minor repairs to fencing and steps.
Problem with that, is to get somebody that will do it, those small jobs. And anybody who knows that sort of thing that will do a bit of wall repairs or a bit of what good workers used to do. I don't know what you'd call them these days.
But small groundworks.
Yeah, well, I said, there's a little, anybody knows anything that would do that sort of thing?
Well, there are local builders who may be
you could be approached?
Well, we've tried two, which weren't slightly interested, but if anybody comes up with an idea of a small person, though, would do that, then I'd let me know.
Did Arbor Care feature in the works?
Yeah.
Well, they say it's always a different, because a different price for them. Because they were meant to carry work out for us, and they never did mine.
We never.
All right. Finally, are there any actions following the recent site assessment?
No.
Okay.
We've got 10 out of 10 for that.
Right. Moving on, 60.2, churchyard ground maintenance.
There's a
action.
Yes. The answer is yes, but it depends upon how often the bishop will make an opinion or give an advice of doing something. So the ball is in his court. We are fruitful, totally clean, and yes, the answer is it's under control.
Waiting for the response from the...
From the hierarchy.
Yeah, hierarchy. Okay. Thank you. War Memorial, that relates to the valuations being sought for insurance, but Jane is making contact with various suppliers to get an updated valuation in the event that serious damage were to occur to the War Memorial.
Sam, can I just ask one thing? When Jane, can you just make sure that we put in St Mary's, that we are waiting for the bishop?
Yeah, technically it's the diocese, I think. Perhaps not, let's not name the bishop, but yeah, okay.
Well, it's so high. Yeah, okay.
The next item, 60.4, cemetery. Just to note the clerk's report on matters of the federal authority. And we're also seeking an update on the progression on the valuation of that chapel. And again, for insurance, that work is in hand. 60.5, recreation ground. Norton's covered that particular item in terms of the finances required. We will review how we might raise the funds to enable us to move forward on that. And we have been in contact with other potential suppliers, and we'll involve them as soon as we get the opportunity.
Well, I was sorry, on that. Obviously, we had a slightly non-consented use of the pavilion while we were during the summer period, which, you know, I don't think any of us necessarily have gone with principle, but because or principle of use, but because it was not consented, there is a concern that we weren't insured.
Yeah.
And it was running for several hours, like when I came to the station, that it was still going at 7 o'clock in the evening. I don't know what we'd do about that, but I think given that the body from whom the individuals were came along, that probably seemed to be informed that they can't do that without the consent.
I've been meaning to respond directly to that person. I will be just in some other matters.
I think you were aware I'd already said no, you can't do it before you came on the scene.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't advise you. I thought that he's a great giving them permission. So.
Yeah. Particularly as we weren't advised who it was, we've got no idea who actually told him. I think we had an artist, and it's not in the gift of. Leader of a sports club to grant access to the pavilion to a third party.
Which was pointed out to him,
yeah. Yeah. I've covered the recreation plan. Rights of way. In respect to Partridge Hill, I had a meeting with Tim Gorthlock, and he warned me further out Partridge Hill level to where he's actively farming, and explained where the source of the spring water that is adding to the erosion on Partridge Hill is occurring and how it's flowing. And I passed his thoughts on and proposed actions to build up the bank to contain the flow of the spring water to the east of the track, where it should get absorbed by foliage and trees. I've passed that information on to the rights of way officer who's handling the matter, and that proposed work, I think, is going to be due to be done by the farmer in October, late September, early October, and the rights of way officer has agreed for his team to do some resurfacing of the section lower down that leads to West End in October, early November. So before the really bad winter weather sets in, hopefully we should see a significant improvement the condition of the Partridge Hill. And hopefully it will be a lasting solution. If not, then it will go back for further consideration. Note the final notice on the bridle way works. 66.2. Any questions on that? Can you take them? Street furniture. We're in dialogue with North Hearts over number of litter bins and the emptying of them and the maintenance of the bins. Norton's been in dialogue with the club over that. Do you really need a volunteer to lead on that item? Is Norton?
Yeah, I've got it on my to-do list, basically, right. But I know in the past many of you have contributed, so I might ask for another look at the relevant bins, or usage. It's worth revisiting that before we cross off, before we start negotiating with anything.
And trade waste bins, again, correspondence with MHC regarding the number and emptying of those bins. But that seems to be working pretty well, I think, in general. Any comments from anyone? No.
Graham, can I just clarify on that? The parish council actually physically has 4 trade waste bins. We only pay for 3 of them because there is a long-standing agreement with North Hearts that they will provide 1 gratis bin to parish councils who carry out litter picking activities. So that's why we get 1 of them for free. I think I've kept the original correspondence for that on file, but it is challenged by North Hearts quite frequently when new officers come on board. So I think we need to kind of note that.
Okay. Would you add that information you've just given us to the minute, please?
Yeah, so, we'll do. Yeah.
On the record, what is the status on that, please? Are there any other reports? So moving on to other reports, item 61. Steve Jarvis unfortunately can't make tonight. I mean, he has responded in by email today concerning the Hobwell yellow lanterns. He is unsure as to whether the narrowness of Hobwell, now that the new curving has been installed, is sufficiently narrow to justify it for yellow lines. But the evidence of informed by local residents is that a waste bin, waste collection lorry was unable to access Hobwell because there was a parked car outside the church fence. So if we will respond accordingly to Steve, but and if necessary, get further confirmation of that fact and encourage him to get it measured and action taken. But I mean, the contractors have done an excellent job quite well. It's clearly not satisfactory. I mean, if an ambulance say is required, then that could be a leaking machine or a fire engine. I think we'll be probably support that application or that request. And in respect of the options for notices for unsuitable heavy goods vehicles down in Garden Lane, Steve has suggested that we potentially choose from advanced signs or along the High Street or a sign at the junction, which is the key point of access. Or that we do nothing. I'd like us to consider whether or not we actually suggest that both advanced signs and a sign at the junction be considered, because obviously once someone tries to that, you know, the large articulated lorry, if they try to access it, because and then see a sign at the beginning of the junction, at the junction, and they haven't noticed a sign because there was no sign in advance, they're going to have a hell of a job getting backing out of it. So, a belt and braces approach, I suggest, could be this signage, it's not roadwork, it's signage.
Is that for discussion now?
We can discuss it now, or we can.
It is the unsightly, the High Street, having has a big blue sign saying, and the number of occasions that actually happened, which is in my experience, and then get sent into one, so I don't know if you're wrong about this.
Well, we could suggest that we're providing the information about the format and the potential location of the signs before taking a view on it. Should we do that?
Well, I mean, I quite strongly agree with Chris on this. I think, you know, it would be an eyesore signs in both directions. And to be frank, okay, I might be cynical, but, you know, if lorry drivers drive into Gardens Lane like they have done, no amount of signage is going to register on their brains. And, you know, I've been up in Ashwell Street seeing flipping very borrowed to come down that track, you know. And, you know, there's no sense to it. So I really don't think that the signs will have any impact apart from being an eyesore. I mean, that's the view.
I agree with that 100%. They don't look at those. They just try and barge their way through.
Shall we, I mean, again, that's a fair view. Shall we seek more information from Steve as to what these potential signs might look like, or should we just?
Well, the mock-ups aren't particularly artistic.
Right.
But hopefully it'll give an indication of the kind of size and impact, visual impact of the signs. And they are quite unsightly.
I agree with that. I think it gives it. I think it's a good thing. Doesn't have been brewed in the past.
Okay.
It's maybe we adopt a wait and see approach. If there are more such incidents in the coming months, we can review again.
I mean, in fairness, it is the first damage that I'm aware of in quite a few years, a decade.
I mean, I think there has been an example of, okay, it was that authority, but before that, I think, for examples, where farm vehicles were causing obstruction. But I mean, this is a community where farming is still quite important, so I don't see we can try and restrict that locally. But it could well be a fairly rare occurrence.
Okay, is the consensus then that we wait and see?
Yeah.
All in favour?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Minuted that we'll wait and see on that. And Jane, please.
I mean, I'm quite happy to tell parishioners that if they ask me what they worry about.
Okay. We'll advise Steve accordingly.
Well, the last one that got stuck there, I went up to him and said, you won't get through there. And he promptly went and got unstuck. You know, he got stuck and God knows how was there for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
Graham, I'm doing a screen share. Can everybody see that?
Yeah, we can. Thank you.
Does that help or hinder?
Yeah, no, I think we're agreeing that the consensus is that we wait and see if there's further incidences before.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
And we'll advise. You can advise Steve Jarvis. Concern three, a tree in Station Road on the boundary with Moltons, on the impact that is having on the street light. There's dialogue taking place between Bart and Steve Haver, whose land actually lies on, whether it's highways or the housing in the Maltons. And that will continue, that dialogue, we'll get an answer on that. But it is obstructing the lighting, so someone needs to do something about it. And
it does stop the light.
Obstruct the light.
That's a huge tree. I think they probably have to end up taking it down.
It's just a question of who.
Yeah. Need to get in between two fences as well.
The latest from between Steve and I is that the first suggestion was that because of the precise location of the bus shelter, it must be on highways land. But Steve has looked at the highways maps and it appears that the bus shelter actually encroaches on the Maltings land, so that isn't a good guide. So I think we're probably beginning to come to the conclusion that it's on the Maltings land. But it's in progress, shall we say.
I mean, presumably, if it is, then we would need to make representations to the management committee of the Maltings for them to take action with.
Right. I mean, they would like the tree down because they have issues regarding drains and other things. So they've asked that highways take it down on the assumption that it is highways. I think the ball is going to be thrown back into their court.
Okay. Fine. All right. We'll let that go in that direction. Thank you. Right. Tom, would you like to
Just a couple of points. it's a bit of a week for meetings next week, and you've already mentioned the planning meeting on the 14th, which is the Dixie's Meadow item will be number one as agenda, and as you said, there'll be, as I understand it, a speaker from amongst yourselves sharing the 5-minute slot with a parishioner, and I will also be speaking in objection as your member advocate, so I get my own 5-minute slot in which to do that. Now, in case you're not aware, the reports pack has been published for this meeting, so you can see on that the agenda and also all of the officers' reports, and you'll notice that the officers recommended refusal on this application. So, for all the reasons that I think have been discussed at various meetings beforehand. So, I can't preempt what the outcome will be, but it looks reasonably straightforward from my experience of these things. Second item on that agenda is the Bygrave Son of Arm application, which is somewhat less straightforward, I venture to say. And we'll watch that one with interest, and I shall have to watch it from another room because I'm not going to be allowed to sit on that part of the meeting because various interests that apparently I have, like living too close to it, basically. So that's another one that you may wish to have a look at in the planning documents. They're all available on the council website, and the calendar of meetings isn't the easiest thing to find in there, but you'll find your way there. If you start off by looking for something that says council services or all services or other services, it's not on the main list of items, and you're looking for the calendar of meetings.
What's the date for the Son of Arm?
That's also on the 14th, so it's the same meeting.
That'd be a jolly
evening. Busy, yeah. And there are several other items on that agenda as well, so it's going to be quite a demanding meeting for members. Also next week, I've noticed that you've got a mention of urban and civic later on in the agenda. I can't really know quite where, but just wanted to mention that we've got the Board of the District Area Forum meeting on Monday the 11th, and the representatives will be coming to give a short update to us at that meeting. You're welcome to come, being the district part of the Board of the District Area. And so it's a more open style of meeting than the old committee used to be, and we're welcome to come in, make your comments, join in the conversation. There will be, as previously also, there will be grant applications heard, which is a slightly more formal part of the meeting, but then after that we have a themed aspect of the meeting. This coming meeting will be on the topics relating to the cost of living crisis. So we're going to have some people from the Citizens Advice Bureau, which has recently opened an office in Baldock, to talk about their work. And we're also going to hear from the Hitchin and Letchworth Food Bank, which will also serve the Baldock area. And it would be quite interesting to see what they have to say about that.
Have you emailed the parish council about that meeting?
No, but I will do it as soon as I get back, yeah.
And then I suggest someone, if possible, from the parish council attend.
That is not going to be online, unfortunately. That would be too known. We can't do that because the premises don't enable us to. It's actually this one that we've been hopping around various locations in Baldock, but this one is at the Methodist Church in Whitehorse Street. And doors open at 7:15 and the refreshments are provided. That was it really then, but just one point I wanted to pick up on that came up before about the police. The local sort of safe neighbourhood police groups do have regular priority setting meetings. I'm not sure if you've been aware of this, but and I have to confess that I've probably slipped up on occasions because most of the communication I get is from the Baldock and Letchworth police, but actually Ashwell falls under Royston. So sometimes I think I get missed out of the communications on that. So I think there's either imminently a meeting for the priority setting for the next, I think it's the quarterly, or else we've just missed it. But I just wanted to say that there are these meetings do take place, as you raised the point, and these are online meetings which you can join, I'm sure, and probably quite worthwhile you'll have a look at them.
As you mentioned, I know you were took part in the Zoom Urban Civic discussion on transport a couple of weeks, maybe a bit longer than that, anyway, since the last meeting. I got the impression that there was quite a level of dissatisfaction with some of the proposals on road closures and priority routes into and out of Baldock from the north. Can you just sort of cover that and say, well, my recollection of it was that Urban's going to go away and come back with revised proposals because there was discontent.
Yeah. So my recollection is that, among other things, I think the most contentious part of what they were suggesting was that the route from Letchworth along Whitehorse Street should no longer allow a left turn into Station Road. And that
towards the service.
Towards the service, yeah. To relieve pressure on the junction there. So that all traffic would head straight along the 505. Access to Ashwell would be on the new link road from there. And again, they haven't got any precise sort of or finalised version of where exactly that road is. Sorry?
It's still not decided.
Not decided as yet. And I've had no information since the meeting that Graham's referring to.
There was also the suggestion, I think, that the existing Ashwell Road, which feeds into the services side of the bridge, no longer gave access to the 507, and the Ignewood Way, i.e. running towards, is it West Road? The road that is building the traffic lights, you're going to Letchworth and the commercial area of Sainsbury's and Aldi, etc. That would be a no through road, so closing that. So the access from Ashwell to those services and the Knights Templar would have to go on the 505 and then come back into.
That's right. I think the general concept is to keep traffic off Ashwell Road or Bybridge Road and use the link road. Then there's discussion about the fact that that would appear to be a very obvious rat run for heavy, or for all traffic coming from the services heading towards Royston, whereas the plan, which seems some people's minds somewhat optimistic, is that traffic coming south on the A1 should go to the Letchworth Junction in order to get to Royston, and in other words, to come back off there onto the 505. That's preferred. That's the vision. Whether that's achievable in reality, I really don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're coming on Monday for just a very brief update, but what they will tell us also then is that it was planned for October, but it's possibly going to be towards the end of October or even November. It's another consultation event, such as the one that was held here. I think this will only take place in Bulldog, and you'll be given fair warning of when that will be. So you don't need to feel left out this time.
I think the good news is that we're now on the urban civic circulation list.
Yes.
So that will be available to parishioners in Ashwell and Parish Council.
So that would be in the form of another drop-in event, and I think that they're talking about a public consultation at some point thereafter.
Okay.
And that's it from me, Anders.
Okay. And we'll continue around to circulate those when we get notice of those and into the letter.
Yeah, yeah. Item 6.3.6.2.1. 52.2, the Hertfordshire County Council draft rural estate strategic plan consultation. I completed the survey online. It didn't allow specific reference to the person or organisation making the response, but they did have a tick box to show him it was a council response to the consultation, but not specifically Ashwell's response. And it's connected with Ashwell is that there are, I think there were in the Hearts County Council, there's three sites. The main one is to the west of Yards Lane, on the road to Kingsworth, the northwest of that, of the Kingsworth Road, which is currently farmed. There's a by a tenant farmer. There's an area to the east of Station Road in Ashwell, but a few fields further to the east towards Steeple Norton, also which I think is a farm. And then there's a very small plot of land pretty close on the road that passes adjacent to the road that passes Bluegates Farm over at Ashwell End. That's a very small land, probably only a couple of acres or so. I responded on the sort of various options which were in support of alternatives like commercial buildings, like that, suggesting that most of the land which is currently being farmed, those farming, it should be encouraged, or new farmers should be encouraged to farm the land rather than do any hard structural development, because that is at risk of damaging the environment that surrounds our village. There wasn't a specific option for the council to respond to that consultation, although I've now, through Steve, been given the name of the person at Hearts County Council who is administering the consultation. And Steve, like I, is slightly frustrated that they haven't, as part of that consultation, made clear what they're, and it was carried out by the developer, a land management agency on behalf of Hearts County Council. This wasn't made clear as to what their current thinking is on what to do with the land that falls in the Nashville. So it would be referendum to get some clarity on that matter. If the parish council would like me to follow up and make contact, the parts council responsible for that, I will, but it's not published action date. It's fine.
Then it gets to be completely unsustainable for the locations, and it needs a general bit of their own ownership, so they need to have a table lease for it, or right at the bottom end of any alternative use other than just with the present use, really. So I don't think there's a great bit of reason to need to explore any further.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Six, item 6.2.3, there's been correspondence from Kushner, the parish council's involvement in climate change actions. I've agreed with the commissioner to meet and have a discussion to find out more about her thoughts and the information that she's received lies behind her suggestions. And I suggest that I have that meeting with Ian's attendance if Ian can make that date. It's next Wednesday.
Are we allowed to know who it is? Because if it is, I think
it's Anne Fletcher.
Right.
She came to the parish meeting.
Yeah, sorry, I thought it was somebody else. That would totally waste of time.
Anne Fletcher. She came a few weeks ago. Actually, in the last meeting. And then we will report back to the parish council with proposed actions. Is everyone happy with that?
Yeah. On a similar, well, on a related matter, am I right thinking there's another Sober Together initiative on the go at the moment?
Yes.
So yeah, perhaps we could just email all our subscribers to that effect.
I've dumped it on Facebook already.
Oh, it's on Facebook already then? Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, we couldn't mail everybody as well.
Yeah. I constantly found people not on Facebook.
It may be that could it be supposed to be a new one? Do you know?
Well, I don't know the details. I think it's very similar to the previous thing. Just seen it recently, literally in the last few days, online, and I've had an email subscription to keep you now. Anyone as well.
Right. I mean, it's not the actual hub. I don't think it's anything more. What we do wouldn't add much to that.
We'll move on to finance and government.
Good.
We've been sent information up to the end of August 23 on the accounts and the tracker. The proposal is that the summary of the receipts and payments is issued with the draft minutes following this meeting, and that the two nominated parish councillors, which is Norton and myself, sign off the accounts in accordance with internal control procedures. And of course, the finance is now being contracted, the finance management being contracted out to
Graham, can I correct you? It's you and Martin who are the nominated for signing off these. The reason being is that one of the people has to be not a signatory, and Martin is no longer a signatory.
Thank you, Jane. So is everyone happy that we adopt that proposal?
You want me to carry that?
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're all happy with that proposal. Please. There are also proposals to accept quotes for the following items, which are listed, some of which are unbudgeted. The first regarding office electricity and the request for a supplementary payment by the Ashwell Housing Association as a result of the very significant high electricity charges since the agreement with the Housing Association was set up with the recent parish office. Circulatability documentation that goes behind that request. Is everyone happy with that?
Yeah, makes sense. So, can I just ask one question? Is that, saying not resting place, is that an increased percentage share going forward, or is this just a request from the one-off pages, which is giving you a token if it gives us on reduced hours and going on until we may able to review if this is a same
it, it was a specific request. I believe that the tenancy agreement is coming to an end, or it's about to come to an end, and it will be redrafted and renegotiated. But I think the because we are the primary user of that particular electricity service, I think it is the principle that variations from a base level, which could be identified, should a proportion of that should be our responsibility, maybe worth including in the revised tenancy document. Because otherwise they've got to come with their payment goal.
If we're renewing a new tenancy, we should try and get what we need to set up a meter installed. We should be doing this to have a feed for the electricity we're actually using for that office.
Is that practical, Jane?
Yeah, I mean, the issue of electricity was discussed when the lease was agreed, but there is currently no particular provision for the electricity there. And the basis for that was because nobody would know how much electricity the parish council would use, because the premises had never been used in that way before. Yeah. So this is definitely a one-off, a specific, but I think it's sensible that the matter is discussed with the landlord when the lease is renewed.
When is that due?
It's overdue. We're on a rolling basis on that at the moment. This is true of a couple of our leases. To avoid solicitors' costs, the Parish Council took some informal but qualified legal advice some years ago. And as long as rent is exchanged and accepted, the lease is deemed to be continuing. But unless either side actually specifically raises it, that situation remains. So I think the ball is in the court of the landlord to raise that if they're not happy with it.
Yeah, it's called holding over, so it's standard things. It's not ideal, but if it works. But all I'm saying is, it's possible it's probably should be a request from the landlord installed, and then everyone's using getting charged for what they're using.
Yeah. I mean, given that we're a bit in the firing line when it comes to a potential future request for electricity support, electricity bill support, I think it would be wise for us to sort of formalise it so that we can budget accordingly. Otherwise, we're going to be back in this situation again. And asking If we are going to be asked, or is there a possibility of being asked again to contribute, requesting that a separate meter be put in would make sense because it would then remove any.
It's transparent.
Can I say that the metering situation at the moment is that the area of the building that is covered is merely the lighting in the stairwell for the flats and the parish office. So to be honest, the additional amount that is used in the stairwell is probably very negligible compared to the parish council's usage. I think separate metering would come at a cost, which I think the landlord might try and push to you anyway. But I think it needs to be discussed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the key factors in the discussion before was obviously the nature of who the landlord is in this case.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think the fact that the lease is open to renewal, I think, you know, we should, and this item is currently under, well, we've been now dismayed it, but it gives us an opportunity to go back to the housing association and update the lease.
Yeah, I think it's wise. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's something we can discuss when the lease is renewed. Yeah. It may not be practical, but let's discuss.
I think we need to make if we're deciding that we should go and formalise a new lease. Is that what we're deciding?
I think so, yes.
Say,
yes.
Someone needs to pay that for them.
Yeah. Will you take that forward, Jane?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no.
That's
a good idea.
Of course, or not, or amend the proposed lease arrangement. Okay.
I thought you were talking to someone for the job then, because
Tree Works, we've now agreed 63112. Footpath, we've reprint. Propose whether to accept the quotation or not.
I mean, it works over well, 20p a leaflet.
Okay. Is everyone happy?
Yeah.
Okay, that's approved. Annual insurance. We received a proposal from the broker. We've adapted for this for some time for only one quotation rather than several, but the option for a 3-year agreement. It's a few hundred pounds more than is actually budgeted, but on the basis that it gives us a fixed 3-year insurance cost at the quoted price. With the way that insurance has gone historically, I suspect that we will very quickly repay, if you like, the extra investment this year and savings in future years.
Yeah, but also companies are doing that.
Yeah. Is everyone in agreement?
No.
Right. Okay, that's approved,
Jane. Can I just quickly say that the situation for all parish councils regarding insurance is again increasingly difficult. About 10 or 15 years ago, some competition came into the market in that brokers did appear. We're now almost back in the situation where only a package deal really is available from very few suppliers for parish councils. The big guys don't want to know, or their costs really are just outrageous for individual trying to arrange things. So despite my misgivings regarding not being able to get competitive quotes on this, I don't think you have much choice.
Jane, can I just ask a quick question? So it's Chris.
Yeah.
And I appreciate we've looked into this, but is there any ability for parish councils to coordinate these things so that, you know, it's buddy up with three or four others to have renewals at similar times, and that scale then allows us to get more competitive quotes?
Well, yeah, and I think that's a very good question, Chris. And I think what happened before is Ashwell actually was quite an instigator in this. We raised it through the County Association because we were very, very uncomfortable with them not being able to have good competitive quotes. So I think the time has come to do that again. To see if there are other options available out there. I mean, as I said previously, what happened is a couple of brokers came into the market and options were available. And up until this year, the broker that we happened to use gave us three options to choose from. Now that broker has been taken over by somebody else and we're only being offered a package deal, as is everybody else that I know of that uses this. But I think, so again, it's the time to take this up with the County Association again to see if we can poke some people into action on this.
Yeah, we can get that.
Good suggestion. Yeah, please manage it, Jane. Okay. Moving on to 63.2, we note the period of the exercise of property rights that's been publicised. 63.3, we've already discussed with members of the public about co-option. We will note publicise the opportunity for co-option in the community.
Do we need co-option?
If that's the view of the parish council.
I think we should think about it a bit. I mean, at the moment, you know, we're just getting over the setup of many of our policies, for instance. Yeah. I think things need to settle down a bit before we look again at the workload, whether we've got enough parish council.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Other people share that
I think applications, if someone wants to make an application, we should listen to the application. I don't think we should say we wouldn't listen to them. If there was an election recall, an election request, or so an election was about to be made, we haven't filled all the seats, and now time we've had a vacancy, thereby, then the decision might still be that we don't take the number. If there were people that wanted to do public option, we should have listened.
Right, discussion now on council documents. We've been reviewing policies and procedures since May 2023, and the agenda has identified all of the policies and procedures that we are considering, that have been adopted or are under consideration for adoption. And in general, the view is that we should stick with model documents. And Norton, I know, has done some research in amongst members of HOPDC to see what other parish councils have done in that respect. Would you like to update?
Yeah, I looked at the standing orders and the complaints procedures of all the past parish councils that were looking fine, for which I find those documents. I didn't look at any other policies and procedures, just the two. Okay. What we're proposing, first of all, that the high degree of consistently amongst the parish councils, they tended to go for the standard form without amending those standard forms, and that that's pretty much the mind that we think as well. I think probably the easiest is certainly, I think, given the comments of the North Arts made in the past, it's certainly the easiest in North Arts to deal with as well, is pretty consistency on the parish councils. So, yeah, the situation is, as far as I can tell, that if we adopt these models, then we're following standard practice and that would appear to be acceptable.
Okay.
I can't specifics as we go through the individual items themselves. But...
Well, the items that are up for discussion this evening are the code of conduct, which I think we've already this evening discussed making a further revision to that for potential approval at the October meeting. Bring that in line with the participation. So that will get deferred to the next meeting. There is a disciplinary policy, which is to be agreed at this meeting, and the recommendation is the NALC model in November 2019. Is everyone happy?
Yeah.
With the revision to the referrals of third parties, the state in 6.75, is that correct?
The yeah, Graham, the idea was behind the 63.4.2 was that clause should be added to all relevant policies and procedures of the parish council.
Yeah.
I think the proposal was put that way so that you can adopt a model policy and then just add a clause rather than making individual amendments to models.
Yeah. No, and I think, well, subject to agreement by the councillors, that it is reviewed after every election, so after every 4 years, unless it becomes apparent that it needs to be modified between those elections as a result of further policy changes or a particular issue that highlights a flaw in the policy as it currently stands. Is everyone happy with that approach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can I just clarify then that you're voting to accept 4.2 and 4.3 on that?
Yeah.
The renewal timings and the clause about referral to outside bodies, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Good, yeah.
And as far as 63.4.4 disciplinary policy, based on the NAC template, 63.4.5 grievance policy, also based on the NAC template. And as far as the complaints policy is concerned, we've seen some suggested alternatives, but the SLCC model code and a version that was drafted of that dated 27th of June 2023 is proposed for acceptance by the parish council, if everyone is in agreement with that. It incorporated, it's based on the SLCC and NALC model. Yeah.
So that's the model unchanged.
Yeah. Which is consistent with the other decisions taken.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah, sorry, but yeah, but the pain on that one because I'm unsure as to the wording of the big end like in terms of replacing that with the SLCC, if I understand that. But then on the end, it's are there any changes that are proposed and we're accepting to the SLCC model, or is it just noted that there were amendments to the SDF that are not incorporated?
Graham, can I say something? The SLCC model that was actually identified by Sarah has, SLCC has two options for models, one which is tailored for town councils and one that's tailored for parish councils. So the reason that that one was selected is that it is, could be argued, is most appropriate for a parish council. One of the difficulties with the complaints policy is a universal one like the NALC one was, if you're a district council, for example, you have to deal with a lot of complaints regarding, you know, bin emptying and all that kind of thing, whereas that's not really really aligned for a parish council. Now,
Chris, just to clarify, the issue that you have is that from this particular item, if my understanding is correct, I'm just checking this. From this particular item, it's not very clear, is what you're saying, whether we're proposing to adopt the standard SLCC policy, SLCC model with no amendments, or whether we're proposing to adopt the SLCC model with amendments. Is that the particular issue you have?
That's what I'm clear on.
Yeah, is, right, so perhaps we can clarify that.
Joe, can you clarify any variation from the SLCC model that Sarah identified?
No, sorry. Sorry, Graham. No, the question is the item here proposing that we accept the SLCC model unchanged, or is it proposing that we accept the SLCC model with the suggested changes? Which is it?
It's based on the SLCC model, isn't it, Jane? Unchanged?
Hand on heart, no, there are some changes in the working, in the document that's dated working draft 27th of June. My understanding, hand on heart, is that there are some slight variations to the SLCC model.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Now, I think, given that there is concern about this, perhaps this needs a little bit more consideration for people to read through what are, you know, quite lengthy documents before you make a decision on this, Graham. So one option is that everybody goes away from this meeting, reads very thoroughly, within mindful of the proposal that has now been put on the table, and we revisit this at the October meeting.
Okay. Just for clarity, I compared that 27th of June document with the SLCC model, and the only variation that I could see was that under item 3.1, the SLCC model says complaints by one council employee against another, or between a council employee and a council as employer, these matters are dealt with under the council's disciplinary and grief procedures. And under the 27th of June, the version that we're being asked to consider is the change here. The change is this following sentence: these matters are dealt with in accordance with the ACAS code of practice on disciplinary and grievance procedures. So it's an HR ACAS grievance procedure which is suggested that we adopt, which I think were a disciplinary matter to go to a tribunal, I think it would be an ACAS principle that would be upheld. So that seemed to me to be a sensible position to adopt.
Can I interrupt and say that that is what you've just agreed? Because the disciplinary policy, which would apply to an employee, is based on the ACAS one.
Well, it's
so that's, I mean, the point I think that Norton makes quite clearly is you've got a choice between agreeing, adopting a model document or an amendment. And all of the other options are amendments to a model document.
Right, so where do we go from here? I mean, I think we need to withdraw this item.
Let's defer it to, well, the HR committee, the HR working group, is meeting between now and the October meeting. So I suggest we add this particular item to that agenda. We discuss it. Because it's a complaints procedure which is relevant, and we, as a result of that, we bring it back to the October meeting to consider a specific complaints procedure document.
Of course, it's within the scope of the HR committee to bring that in.
Is everyone happy with
what's the proposal?
I'm slightly need some guidance on that. I don't know whether can it be added to the agenda of the HR committee at this stage if it's not in the agenda already.
Yeah, I do have concern. I do have some concerns about that, Chris. You're absolutely right.
The issue I have with that as well is I'm not sure it's within the scope of the HR committee as well. I think it's probably. Yeah. The next council meeting, anyway.
I just think it's important we get this right because of certain situations that have been raised. I'm not clear on how to apologize, but I haven't been made any clearer from this conversation. I can't sort of say I approve that agenda item at the current stage because I'm unclear, and I think it's important personally that. If I'm going to vote on it, I'm clear on it, and I'm not, unfortunately.
Okay. So we'll bring it back to the October council meeting then. The complaints procedure. I think the item specifically that we need to just focus on concerns complaints by one council employee against another council employee. Because that is the change versus the SLCC item. The other complaints against councillors, there is a consistency in that those are referred to the district council. So that conforms with the SLCC model.
Yeah, I also just for the record, I also just, I'm not clear that the suggested amendments being made, and I think were in principle agreed by Sarah to be there. I'm not particularly clear that they are incorporated in the proposed document, and I would personally like to just double check for reasons of good order. Unless anyone else here is happy to say that they've been through and they have been, in which case I stand by that. But
yeah.
Well, let's do what you decided about 5 minutes ago.
We'll defer it to the October meeting to give you a chance and anyone else a chance to look at the two. But I think what is being suggested is that you compare the SOCT standard model document with that drafted by Sarah on the 27th of June, dated 27th of June, 2023.
Okay, thank you.
We just need to be clear on what we're voting.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
I can ask another quick question, sorry.
Yeah.
It's maybe completely unfeasible, but is there the ability to vote on an agenda item that's been deferred in between meetings so we don't have to wait a month to actually make a decision, or is that against the...
I think that's against the principles, which we ought to adopt. Okay. Last item then is 6347, which is proposal to adopt the new code of conduct as requested by MHC, which is the standard default MHC code of conduct, which I think actually we had agreed in principle way back. Is everyone happy with that as a standard document?
Yes.
All in favour?
Makes sense to make that.
Okay, that's approved. And that brings the meeting And then it's just been guidance from the local government, so it's an election statement of conduct for the public by the LPAs. So that brings the meeting to a close. I apologize, we've gone for 3 hours. We're still within the 3 hours in it, though, so can I say probably that? Thank you very much, everyone, for attending.
Thanks.
Thank you for that.